Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma is daf Yud Zayin. Continuation of yesterday's daf. Yesterday and today complete the end of a discussion of the Gemara, which is a tangent which started on the bottom of Tesvav Amud Beis. The Gemara on the bottom of Tesvav Amud Beis poses a stir between Tamid versus Midos. Now, we're neither learning Tamid nor Midos. So why are we trying to resolve discrepancies between these two Masechtas right here in Yuma? And the answer is what Rashi points out on the on Tesvav Amud Beis. It's a good place as any. Rashi says it a little bit better than that. But we are here in Masechta Yuma, and we're resolving a discrepancy between the Mishnayos and Yuma. The Mishnah and Yuma and Daf Yadalad versus the Mishnah and Yuma and Daf Chafhei, where what seem to be at odds with one another. What should come first? Should the Ketoros come first, or should the cleaning of the menorah come first? So the two Mishnahs pose two different perspectives. So the Gemara gave a couple of resolutions. One of the resolutions of the Gemara is that it's a machlokus between Tanayim, meaning that one Mishnah reflects the opinion of one Tana and the other Mishnah reflects the opinion of another Tana. So, which is not the only time that we had such a resolution. But then the Gemara says, as long as we're here, as long as we're discussing it, so we're going to give a similar answer to a similar difficulty. The difficulty is the Mishnah in Tamid versus the Mishnah in Midos. Now, the Mishnah in Tamid came with notes today. The Mishnah in Tamid. Well, let's start with the Mishnah in Midos, because that says it very clearly. So the Mishnah in Midos, again, there are two Masechtas that come up in the end of Zvachim. There's Tamid, there's Midos. And they come really with two different purposes. The Mishnah in Midos is giving us a layout of the Beis HaMikdash. It's interested in just simply giving us a picture, a visual picture of the Beis HaMikdash, and so it lays it out for us. So you go through the Mishnayos, and you go through, it writes every square foot, or in the case of the Mishnah, every square amma of the Beis HaMikdash from end to end, from the north to the south, from the east to the west, and what rooms are where, and etc., etc. So in other words, after you go through Masechta Midos, you get a pretty good layout of what the Beis HaMikdash actually looked like, and where everything was. That's the Mishnayos of Midos. Then there's another Masechta, which is Tamid. Tamid is not interested in the form of the Beis HaMikdash, but is interested in the function of the Beis HaMikdash. What's a day in the life in the Beis HaMikdash? What happens in the morning? Where does the Kohen Gadol go? Not the Kohen Gadol. Where does the Kohen go? Where does he get the lamb? Where does he shech the carbon tamid? Where does he sprinkle the blood? And in other words, we basically take us through the day in the life of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's done through Masechtas Tamid. As we mentioned yesterday, there's going to be a lot of overlap, meaning in order to know what's happening in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to know what the layout of the Beis HaMikdash is. So there is overlap between the two Masechtos, and there's a point of very simple disagreement between the two Mishnayos, and that is the Beis HaMokad. The Beis HaMokad, if you look above, Beis HaMokad is located on the north side of the Azara, where it's a large building that's actually built into the wall. It's bisected by the wall, so that the south side of the Beis HaMokad is in the Kodesh, in the Azara. The north side of the Beis HaMokad is in the Har HaBayis. It's what's called Chol. But Chol over here, as we discussed yesterday, that doesn't mean that it's really Chul and it's not nothing. It just simply means that it doesn't have Kedushas Azar, it only has Kedushas Har HaBayis. That's a lower level Kedusha. And the Mishnayos go on to describe that in the Beis HaMokad, there were four chambers. Now, by the way, the Beis HaMokad itself, why is it called the Beis HaMokad? Right, the chamber of fire, what does that mean? It means that in the middle of the Beis HaMokad, there was a fire burning. And why? For a very simple reason. Kohanim would be walking around the Beis HaMikdash with no shoes on. They'd be walking barefoot. So now as we enter into the winter months, one can only imagine stepping on the floor, on the cold floor in the Beis HaMikdash. Feet got cold. So where would they go for relief? So they would go to the Beis HaMokad. So after walking around on the cold floor, they run back to the Beis HaMokad, and that's where they would warm up their feet. Fine. That's why it's called the Beis HaMokad in general. And then, once you're in the Beis HaMokad, you're standing in the center, so you're being surrounded by four rooms. What are those four rooms? So first we'll turn to the Mishnah Midos. The Mishnah Midos, very clear. Arav l'shakot hayu l'Beis HaMokad. So the Mishnah Midos says that there are four chambers in the Beis HaMokad, and Kiktonis HaPsuchos HaTraklin, it's like little rooms opening up to a large room. Shtayim b'Kodesh u'shtayim b'Chol. Two in the Kodesh and two in the Chol. Virashe Pispasim, I'm just reviewing, meaning we'll get to today's daf in just a moment. Virashe Pispasim Avdilim Bikodesh HaChol, and there's some sort of demarcation, there's some sort of line of border to tell us when you were in the Kodesh side of the room or the Chol side of the room. Omayu Mishamshos. So what are they used for? So Marav is Dromis, so the southwest, he Isa Lishkas Tlei Karban. That is where the animals were kept. We, as we discussed yesterday, six animals were kept on reserve. So that, because two are used every day for the Ola, and so as you go into any given Shabbos, any given Yontev, so you're going to need a certain amount of reserve. Six animals were kept in reserve, so that way you have a three-day reserve. It's kept in the Lishkas Talayim. That's what the Mishnah Midos says. And the Mishnah Midos clearly identifies it in being in the southwest corner. And then just to go on in the Mishnah Midos, because you'll see, for today we're going to need to know one other placement of room. Jeromus Mizrachis, he Lishkas Shayiso Balachim upon him. You go to the southeast, and you're going to find the Lishkas upon him. The Lishka where they baked the lechem upon him. Mizrach Hitzfon, then you go to the northeast, and then Beis Ganzu, Ganzu Beis Chashmona Avnei Mizbech Sheshik Tzumach Yavan. That's where the stones were kept, where the dismantled Mizbeach, which was defiled by the Greeks, were stored over there. And then Tzfon Tzmarav, you get to the northwest, and by Yordan and Beis HaTfila, that's where they go down to the Beis HaTfila. Okay, that's the Mishnah Midos. I mentioned yesterday, but just to reiterate today, and you'll see it becomes a big part of today's discussion, generally speaking, we always go counterclockwise. Okay, why do we always go counterclockwise? The answer is very simple. Really simple. Because we learned yesterday, when you go onto the Mizbeach, so what happens when you get to the top of the Mizbeach? Are you going to turn to the right or are you going to turn to the left? And the answer is you're going to turn to the right. Kol pino shatapone eno ela yamin. When you have to make a turn, so the halacha demands that you have to go to the right. Okay, now, why should that be? So the Gemara doesn't give a source for it. The Gemara just simply says it. I'll say it as dogma, but I'm sure there's makaros. I'm sure there's a discussion in terms of why that should be. Okay, mimi no ishtas lamo. I can, off the top of my head, I could think of something, but it doesn't matter. In other words, the Gemara says it as just simply that's the rule. You always turn to the right. So when you go turn to the right, so then what's going to happen? You're going to go counterclockwise. So, and when you enter any room and you turn to the right, and now you're going to go around. Now you're going around the room. You're going to be going counterclockwise. So generally speaking, when we make a movement, because we're going, our first turn is going to be a right hand turn as we enter. So we're going to go in a counterclockwise direction. Okay, that's. And so the Mishnah Midos, after having first identified Lishkas Talayim, so it now takes us into a counterclockwise direction. Good. Here's the problem, as we pointed out yesterday, but now let's reintroduce ourselves to the problem, the Mishnah in Tamid. Says that there is a Lishkas Talayim. And the Mishnah in Tamid reads, Se'uve viu Talayim Lishkas Beis HaTalayim, go and get sheep from the Lishkas Beis HaTalayim, V'halo Lishkas HaTalayim Ha'isa B'mikzovot Tzfonis Ma'ravis. It's in the northwest, says the Mishnah in Tamid. And that's, in other words, without, you don't have to be that smart to figure out that that's problematic. That's not in the right corners identified in the Mishnah Midos. And then Arba L'Shakos HaYisham, and just finished that Mishnah in Tamid, just as we are introducing ourselves to today's daf. Achas Lishkas HaTalayim, v'achas Lishkas HaChosamos, v'achas Lishkas Beis HaMoka, v'achas Lishkas Shosem Balachem Apanim. So there is the Talayim, Chosamos, Beis HaMokad, and lechem upon him. Now, of the four rooms that are in the Beis HaMokad, if I compare the Mishnah in Midos to the Mishnah in Tamid, only two of the rooms overlap in name. One is the Lishkas Talayim. Two is the lechem upon him. Now you'll notice, as I'm about to point out, they both seem to be off-kilt. Both of those rooms. Meaning the other rooms, they don't even have the same name. Okay, so they can go by more than one name. That's fine. But the rooms that actually overlap, both of them are off kilt. Because if I take a look at that Mishnah in Tamid, so again, where's the Talayim? It's in the northwest. The Mishnah says it. Where are the other ones? Now, read the Mishnah in Tamid carefully. It doesn't say. It doesn't say where the other three rooms are. But here's what we'll do. But here's what we'll do, because we did it yesterday. We'll just simply go counterclockwise. Because we always go counterclockwise. So that means then, the Mishnah in Tamid puts the Lishkas HaTalayim in the northwest. The next room that's identified is the Chosamos, southwest. Next room that's identified is the Beis HaMokad, southeast. Next room that's identified is the Lechem Apanim, northeast. Okay, fine. So now what I have is a double discrepancy between the Mishnah Midos and the Mishnah Tamid. The Mishnah Midos has the Talai Karban, the Lishkas Talayim, in the southwest, and the Lechem Aponim in the southeast. The Mishnah in Tamid has the Talayim in the northwest, and the Lechem Aponim in the northeast. Okay, so that's our problem that we raised yesterday. Yesterday's solution, it's so easy to summarize, Machlokis Tanaim. Meaning, the Mishnah Midos and the Mishnah and Talmud are reflecting two different Tanaim. Which is really, as Rashi points out in the beginning of the whole discussion, why we bring up the discussion right now. Because here we have a discrepancy in terms of the Beis HaMikdash, between the Mishnah Midos versus the Mishnah and Talmud. And our answer yesterday was, the Mishnah Midos, they're all going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is the author, the grand editor of Masechta Midos. Yesterday we gave multiple proofs to why that should be, why Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is the author of Midos. We talked about it in the context of where in one Mishnah he says, oh, I forgot what this room is. Right, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Another way we arrived at that conclusion was based on the ascension going from the east up to the west, and because he needed a clear line of vision from the Haram Mishka, from the Mount of Olives, all the way into the Pesach HaHeichel, the only way you can have a clear line of vision is based on the Sheet of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, without going into all the details that we did yesterday. And another proof that we pointed out is the placement of the Mizbeach, where Rabbi Yehuda says the placement of the Mizbeach is Memutzeh. It's exactly in the middle. This Mizbeach, not the ramp, but the square of the Mizbeach is Memutzeh. It's right in the middle. The Mishnah Midos has it in the southern portion of the Azara, and that has to be going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So we gave yesterday three separate proofs why the Mishnayos in Midos is going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So our answer for yesterday was a very simple Machlokas Tanaim. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov holds Mishnah Midos, and the Mishnah Talmud is reflecting the view of another Tana. Okay, that's yesterday's daf, and that was all by way of review. And now we go to today's daf on the top of Yitzayin Amud Aleph. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Shmamina, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he, Shmamina. Fine, second line down. Called Pina Shat opponent, right? Correct. You want to go in the right direction. So, Rav Adabre, Rav Yitzchak Amar, Hai Lishka, Aksuye, Miksaya. So now we're going to give a totally new approach, and that is the approach of Rav Adabre, Rav Yitzchak. He would like to avoid the conclusion that there are two different Tanaim. Let's even suggest that it's the same Tana. And now it's just a question of perspective.
Science.
Okay? And, well, I'm about to explain. So now the language of the Gemara is very short and slightly cryptic. The Gemara says, Hai Lishka, that Lishka, meaning Lishka sa Talayim, Aktsuye Miktsaye. It is Aktsuye Miktsaye. Now, what exactly that means? So corner to corner is basically what it means, literally, right? Mikatzeh lekatzeh, goes from corner to corner. But basically, I'm going to give you Rashi's pshat. It's Rashi's pshat. It's the Ravid's pshat. You'll see this Ravid in Masechta Tamid. Not everyone agrees with this pshat. Notably, the Rambam doesn't agree with this pshat. But I'm just going to present it like Rashi. And that is the following. This Lishkas HaTalayim is really almost goes the entirety along the western side of the Beis HaMokad. Meaning we have it, if you look at the picture over here is slightly misleading. It looks like four rooms and four corners. What we're going to argue now, and what Rav Adabre Ava is going to argue, is that this room really almost covers the entire length of the western side of the Beis HaMokad. Now there is a room over here, the Beis HaTfilah, where you go down into the Beis HaTfilah, but that room is really a small room all tucked away on the side. It's really just an entrance to go down. But really, Lishkas HaTalayim is drawn mikatzeh lekatzeh. It almost goes from one corner to the other corner. Now, everything is a function of perspective. Uda'asi mitzafon mischazeh lebedarom. When you walk in from the north side, meaning when you're coming from the outside, from the Har Habayis, and you're walking in, so what does it look like? Where's it going to catch your eye? It's going to catch your eye as if it's in the south, as you're walking in from the north.
The biggest part is...
Right. Well, right, we'll get to the biggest part in just a moment. But in other words, you're going to see it on the south side. So the Mishnah Midos, which identifies it as being in the southwest corner, that's talking about somebody walking in from the outside.
So I think when you say south and north, what is your point of reference?
So just, in other words, right now what we're saying is no point of reference, just perspective. We'll talk about, the Gemara will give in just a moment, a more specific positioning and placement of it. But right now the Gemara is just simply giving it from the perspective. When you walk in from the north, it's going to catch you in the south side. It's going to look to you that's on the south side. And then when you're walking in from the south, it looks like it's in the north because, again, it's covering the entire western portion of the Beis HaMokad. So it's going to catch your eye as being in the north side. Now, let's think about this even one step further, because truth of the matter is that this works out really well based on how we viewed Masechta Tamid versus Masechta Midos. Again, what's Masechta Midos? It's a layout. It's interested in the form, not the function of the Beis HaMikdash, but the form. It is just simply a layout of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah in Midos says you're going to find it in the southwest corner. As the Gemara is about to explain to us, it primarily was in the southwest corner. Portion of it was in the northwest, but primarily was in the southwest. So the Mishnah Midos is just giving us the form. What's the Mishnah in Tamid doing? Giving us the function. Now, what's the Kohen doing? The Kohen is getting the lamb in order to shechtas his carbon olah. Where is he coming from? Is he coming from the outside or is he coming from the inside? He's coming from the inside. He's in the Beis HaMikdash. He's doing the avoda. He's walking into the Beis HaMokad. So which side is he going to be walking in from? He's going to be walking from the inside into the Beis HaMokad. So now as he looks at the Lishkas Talaim, now again, not that corner over there, but in other words, it's covering the majority of the western wall of the Beis HaMokad. So from his perspective, it's going to look like it's in the northwest because he's coming in from the inside. So in Masechta Tamid, he's going to see it as the northwest because he's coming in from the Kodesh. In the Mishnah Midos, we're looking at more of the form of the Beis HaMikdash, not the function. And it's primarily in the southwest. And the Gemara is going to now make that very point. Well, not the difference between the Masechtos. I'll take credit for that. But in other words, in terms of the majority of this room was actually located in the southwest. Omistabra, and it's logical, says the Gemara. We're right in the middle of Yedzayin Amud Aleph. Omistabra de Maravish Dramas Havai. It's really more logical that it's in the southwest. Why? Because as we pointed out in the beginning of today's daf, there's a double discrepancy. It's not just a discrepancy of where the Lishka Satalayim is, it's also a second discrepancy in terms of where you're going to find the Lishka for the Lechem Apanim, where they bake the bread. Again, the Mishnah Midos couldn't be any clearer. The Mishnah Midos says it's in the southeast. That's the Mishnah Midos. It actually says it's in the southeast. The problem is the Mishnah Tamid. Now the Mishnah Tamid, again, first identify the Talayim, Lishka Satalayim to be in the northwest, and then from there, it then said there are three other rooms. We assumed, and we're going to change our assumption in just a second, we assumed we're going to go counterclockwise, because we always go counterclockwise. And the three rooms that were identified after the Talayim and Tamid is the Chosamos, the Beis HaMokad, and then the Lechem Apanim. Now, if you go in a counterclockwise fashion, you're going to have the Talayim in the north, and I'm sorry, yeah, the Talayim in the northwest, the Chosamos in the southwest, based on Mocha in the southeast, and then the Lechem Apanim in the northeast. Northeast, that's not good. It should be in the southeast, as the Mishnah Midos says. So that was the other discrepancy. So what the Gemara now is going to suggest is, I have a solution for both problems. For both the Lechem Apanim problem and the Beis HaTalayim problem. Am Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua Marka Chashiv Derech Yamin Umarka Chashiv Derech Small. So here's what we're going to do. Where the rooms were, look at the Mishnah Midos. And look only in the Mishnah Midos. Because the Mishnah Midos actually identify where the rooms were. And in terms of what direction it's counting, it's clearly going counterclockwise. It's an inescapable conclusion. The Mishnah Midos says, we're going to start in the southwest, that's the Talishkas Talayim, and then we're going to go southeast, northeast, northwest. It has a Lechem Apanim placed where? In the southeast. Southeast corner of the Beis HaMokad. Good. Now I'll turn to the Mishnah and Tamid. Now what we're going to do is we're going to resolve both issues with the Mishnah and Tamid. In terms of the Mishnah and Tamid identifying the Lishkas Talayim in the northwest, we said that's from a perspective. That's not where it actually is. And actually, it's in the southwest. Well, actually, it's along the entire western wall. When you're walking in from the inside, it looks like it's in the northwest. But truth be told, is that it's mostly in the southwest. Fine. So in terms of that discrepancy, the Gemara says not a problem. But really, it's in the southwest. Good. Now in terms of where the Lechem Aponim is, we're going to resolve this discrepancy as well by just simply reorienting which direction we're going. We normally go in a counterclockwise direction. Here in the Mishnah and Tamid, we're going to go now the other way. We're going to go clockwise. And now why? I knew that question was coming. I don't have an answer for that question. I don't know. We're going to go clockwise. But if we do, which the Gemara is now saying we're going to do, so then we're perfect. Then we're going to have a total agreement between the Mishnayos. Because if we're going to go clockwise, we're going to start in the Lishkas Hatalayim, which is in the southwest, right? Not the northwest. And then we're going to, next three rooms are Chos Amos, northwest, Beis HaMokad, northeast, and then Lechem Aponim, southeast. Perfect. And so now we'll have a full agreement between the Mishnah in Tamid and the Mishnah in Midos. So Marka Chashiv Derech Yamin and Marka Chashiv Derech Smol. And let me just finish up the point of the Gemara. We're on the very top of Yitzayin Amad Beis.
It's possible that the Tamid is more of a function, so the lamb comes first before the bread. Well, they have to go to the lamb.
Yeah, in other words, right. The Mishnayos and Tamid, which is interested in the function,
right.
So they don't care about the lech. I mean, right. The room that we're interested in right now is the Lishkas Beis HaTalayim.
Yeah, they have to go to the
clockwise. Agreed. Well, but then why do they have to go clockwise after that? I'm not sure. Okay, whatever. I saw the question coming. You know, in anticipation of it, I was not prepared. But okay, it's a good question. Now, I amart Bishlama, just on the top of your Zainam and base. Imar Bishlama Bamara Vishramas Havai. Now, if your starting point is going to be the southwest, which is where our starting point wants to be, that's great. Because Hanan Dimitar, it's Lechem Aponim, Lechem Aponim. Now, the Mishnah Midos puts a Lechem Aponim in the southeast. It says so. The Mishnah and Tamid, as long as we're starting in the southwest and we go clockwise, we're going to end in the southeast. That's also great. Aliyah marks fun is maravis avai. But if your starting point in the Mishnah and Tamid is in the north, in the northwest, so my terutz to the lechem aponim. Well, then that's no good. You're going to start in the northwest, so you're not going to end in the southeast. So alav shmamina be maravis drumis avai shmamina. So the Gemara says this answer is really the answer, and it resolves both difficulties. Just one other point I want to make, and then we're going to go on in the Gemara. And that's a point made by the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, in his parish to the Masechta Tamid, so he points out. So what is this new answer of the Gemara? That this Lishkas HaTalayim is really not just located in the southwest, but it really runs along the majority of the western wall. That means, points out the Gaon, that this Lishkas HaTalayim is partly in the Kodesh, and partly in the Chol. And the Gaon says, and a number of us made this point yesterday, but I saw this in the Gaon, that it's perfect, meaning we want that. Why? Because think about it. What's being kept here? Lambs. Live lambs. And so now, right, live lambs, 3 days, or 3-4 days, consecutive days being kept in this room, so obviously the lambs are going to do what they're going to do. So hard to imagine that we're going to have now a room specifically just in Kodesh, and these lambs are going to be here, and they're going to lay waste in Kodesh in the Azara. So if you stretch this room out, so that part of the room now is in the Har HaBayis area, so it's still lambs relieving themselves in the Har HaBayis, but that's less of an affront than actually being in the Azara. So in other words, what the Gaon suggests is that once this room now has been elongated, so basically over the duration of the week, the lambs were kept really on the northern side, in the Har HaBayis side, not in the Kodesh, not in the Azara side. So from that standpoint, it's another benefit of that room being stretched out, so to say. Right, correct, right. If you right, based on this Gaon, right, you could say that also. Okay, good. Very good. Okay. All right, Adkan, that takes us really to the end of today. Not the end of today's daf. So the Gemara says, let's just finish up the Gemara's point over here. The Amar Mar Kolpino Shatapone Lo Yehu Ela Derech Yamin LeMizrach. So the Gemara says, okay, but in other words, this answer all is based on the assumption that in the Masechta Tamid, so we're going clockwise. And how can you go clockwise? You can't do that. When you go into a room, you're going to make a right-hand turn. And then you're just going to follow a path, and that's always going to be counterclockwise. And kol pina she'atapone ela eino ela derech yamin. You have to turn right. And the Mishnah and Talmud, we're not turning right, we're turning left. What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Hani mili b'avoda. So the Gemara says, when you're doing the avoda, so you have to go, you have to make a right-hand turn first. That's what you have to do. Avahacha chushban ba'amahu. But over here, chushban ba'amah. It's just an accounting. We're just reckoning the rooms that are in the base of Mikdash. It's not so bad that we're going clockwise as opposed to counterclockwise. Okay. It doesn't really answer your question. It just simply says it's okay to go clockwise and not counterclockwise. Why specifically the Mishnah and Talmud is going clockwise? And that I still don't know. Okay. Adkan, that takes us really to the end of the first part of today's daf. It really is the majority of today's daf. So just quickly to review. The last two daftim of the Gemara, daf Tetzayin, daf Yudzayin, and Yuma, are dealing with the discrepancy between the Mishnah and Midos versus the Mishnah and Tamid. The Mishnah and Midos has the room for the Talaim in the southwest. The Mishnah and Tamid has in the northwest. And so basically to this discrepancy, blatant discrepancy between the two Mishnayos, we have two approaches. Yesterday's daf versus today's daf. Yesterday's daf, Machlokas Tanayim. The Mishnah and Tamid is going, the Mishnah and Midos is going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. The Mishnah and Tamid is not. The Gemara yesterday did not identify who the Tana is. So that's answer number one. It's a machlokas between the Tanayim. Today's daf Yud Zayin, a different answer. No, the author of the Mishnayos are the same. It just is that the Beis HaMokad is a longer, not the Beis HaMokad. The Lishkas Talayim, the chamber of the sheep, is a longer room. It really covers most of the western side of that room. When you're walking in from the outside, from the north, it looks like the room's in the southwest. When you're walking in from the inside, from the south, the room looks like it's in the northwest. It's just a question of perspective, and the Mishnayos are giving us two different perspectives. And as I explained earlier this morning, the reason why is because in Midos, that's just simply the layout of the Beis HaMikdash. The majority of the room was in the southwest, therefore the Mishnah over there is going to identify in the southwest. The Mishnah in Talmud, which is talking about a day in the life in the Beis HaMikdash, has the Kohen coming in from the inside into the Beis HaMokad. So where is it going to strike him first? It's going to strike his eye as being in the northwest. That's the difference between the Mishnah and Talmud versus the Mishnah and Midos. With this discrepancy, we also resolve the other issue in the Mishnah, where the Lechem Apanim in one Mishnah is described as being in the southeast, and the other Mishnah, it's being described as being in the southwest. Not a problem. It's really in the southeast. The Mishnah and Talmud is not going counterclockwise, but rather it's going clockwise. And if you follow clockwise, it's going to land up in the southeast, and therefore the two Mishnayos are in agreement with one another. Ad Khan, that takes us through most of today's daf. We continue.
Alex asked a good question. What is the second explanation? One is that it was divided so they can, do this stuff on the whole daf. And why do you need another? What's the function of the other part?
Well, the Rosh Epispesim, as you pointed out, the Rosh Epispesim are now going to be actually cutting through the room itself. I mean, the room itself is not going to get divided between what's Kodesh and what's Chol.
Yeah, but what's the function of the one which is Kodesh? The sheep's are not going to be in there.
Okay, I don't know. Right, what would be the point?
His explanation doesn't,
Okay.
The first explanation sounds better.
Fine, okay. I'm not going to take a side. All right, we go on. Kohen Gadol makriv chelek barosh v'nato chelek barosh. Okay, it's good to be the Kohen Gadol. When you're the Kohen Gadol, you go into the base of Mikdash. And during those 7 days, you're going to be doing the avodah like we discussed. And also, as a Kohen Gadol, so you can step in anytime you want. Okay, this avodah will be mine. This carbon will be mine. You're the Kohen Gadol. You have that right. So, Tana Rabban and Ketza makriv chelek barosh amar. So the Kohen can say, just as a couple of simple examples, Ola ze ani makriv. You see the carbon ola? I'll offer that today. Thank you very much. Mincha ze ani makriv. You see that mincha over there? I'll offer that mincha. Thank you very much. So Ketza noto chelek barosh. Now that's talking about him stepping in to do the avoda. And also he could step in also to help himself to any carbon that he wants. Omer chata zu ani ochel. That carbon chatas. I know you went through all the work of offering the carbon chatas, he says to a Kohen Hedyot, and that's very nice. And you did a great job. And a big pat on the back. And a shakach. Now, in terms of eating the carbon chatas, I'll help myself. I'll sit down and I'll eat the carbon chatas. Or asham zan yochel. Or I'll eat the carbon asham. Okay. Again, thank you very much for doing all the work, but I'll eat it. Good. Chala mishte chalos. Arba o chamesh mi maisa lechem hapanim. Now, on Shavuos, there's shtei alechem. The two loaves of bread are brought on Shavuos, together with the kivsei atzeres, with the two sheep that are offered on Shavuos. Karbanos specific to Shavuos. He can have one of the two loaves. When it comes to the lechem hapanim, how many loaves are baked on the lechem hapanim?
12.
Help himself to maybe 4, maybe 5. Rebbe Omer, la'olam chamesh. So Rebbe says it's always going to be 5. Shenemar v'aysa la'aron levanav, mechze la'aron, o mechze levanav. Half to Aaron and half to his sons. Okay, now that's a little bit difficult because as we all probably figured out by this point in time, 5 is not exactly half of 12. I know, that presents an obvious problem. Okay, but anyway, but the basic point of the Brisa is Kohen Gadol, as a Kohen Gadol, can do whatever avod he wants, and can really help himself to whatever carbon he wants. And when it comes to the Menachos, what do we see? Vashtei Alechem, 1 out of 2. When it comes to Alechem upon him, 4 or 5 out of the 12, or according to Rebbe, 5 out of the 12. Okay. A bit of a problem. Hagufa Kasha, Amar Noto Chala Achas, Mishay Chalaos Mani Rebbe Hi. Meaning Rebbe's of the opinion that you help yourself to half. Kohen Gadol can help himself up to half. Now, by the way, the Achronim, I saw Rabbi Kornfeld discuss this on his notes to the Daf. So the Achronim are bothered by a very simple question. Meaning that we're discussing that when it comes to the Shei Alechem and the Lechem upon him, he can either eat up to half or half of it. Right? That's what it sounds like. But if you look at the Braisa, go to the beginning of the Braisa, by the Karban Chatas. Didn't say he can have half of the Karban Chatas. It says he can have the whole thing. So the Achronim are bothered, but when it comes to the animal, it doesn't seem to be any limit to how much he can help himself to. He can have the whole Chatas, he can have the whole Lashem, but when it comes to the Menachos, the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Aponim, he can only have half of the loaves. So, okay, so and the Achronim are bothered by it, they try to explain it. Maybe there's a difference between a Karban Yachid, which is a Chatas and the Asham, versus a Karban Sibor. Maybe that's the difference. Whatever. Not whatever, but it's a problem. It's an issue. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara says, I'm bothered by the following. Noto chala achas mishe chalos mani rebihi. Meaning, when it comes to the loaves of the Shei Lachman Shavuos, so he takes one of the two. That's 50%. That's Rebbe. Now, Damar Pagashakal, Ema Mitziasa. Then we get to the second part of this Braisa, which is Arba Chamesh Mimaisa Lechem upon him. 4 or 5 loaves of the Lechem upon him, meaning and not 6. Asam LaRabban and Damar Lo Shakal Paga. Well, that sheet is Chachamim, where the Kohen Gadol can help himself, but up to half, but not half. So if you want, you could take 4. If you want, you could take 5. But you can't take 6, because 6 already is half. Ema Seifa. But then let's move on to the next part of the Braisa. Rebbe Omer, la'olam chamesh. Well, you can only take 5 because 5 is half. Now, I know the mathematical issue. 5 is not half. 5 is less than half. But right now, I'm ignoring the mathematical problem and just dealing with the fact that what Rebbe says is you can only take 5 because 5 is half. Okay. Which means that the Kohen Gadol can take up to and including half. So the Gemara says, I'm confused by the following. We have the first shita, which is he can take one of the two, that's half. The second shita is you can only take 4 or 5, but not 6, because you can only take up to half. And the last shita, which is Rebbe, which is that you can take half. So we get to shitas Rebbe, shitas Chachamim, shitas Rebbe. That makes sense? So Reisha v'seifa Rebbe, mitziasa Rabbanan, Amar Abaye, Reisha mitziasa Rabbanan. I'm sorry, Reisha mitziasa Rabbanan. So Abaye says, no, let's not do that. Let's not go back and forth. Let's go. Chachamim, Chachamim, Rebbe. Umo de Rabbanan, v'prusa de lavarachar le'meitzve le'kohen gadol. So the Gemara says, look, really the first and second shita is really the Chachamim. Up to half. So why by the Shtei Alechem is the Kohen Gadol going to help himself to one of the two loaves? Because what's your option? No loaves? One loaf? Or two loaves? Now two loaves is too many. Kohen Gadol can't take that many. He can only help himself to half of the loaves. Or, I should say better, up to half of the loaves. So that's not going to work. Two loaves is no good. Zero loaves also, what do you mean, zero loaves? He's entitled. So therefore, his entitlement allows him up to half, but up to half in this case means one, and lava orach aretz, not derech aretz, to take one loaf, and now break off a piece, because he can only take up to half. So therefore, by the Shtei Alechem, being that your choices are only 0, 1, or 2, so 1 is closest to the correct choice, and it's just not Derech Eretz to break it. So he'll take 1. But only because there's no other option. And then, when it comes to the Lechem Aponim, where there are 12 loaves, so you then, you Kohen Gadol, you could take 4, or you could take 5. Okay. Umay Arba Uchamish, top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, now, let's understand, 4 or 5? So, what is that? In other words, 4 or 5. Say 4, say 5. What does that mean, 4 or 5? So the Gemara is about to explain now, what exactly is this Lashon of sometimes taking 4, sometimes taking 5 loans. Now, as we know, the Kohen Gadol goes in, sorry, before we get to the Kohen Gadol, all right, the Mishmaros. The Mishmaros work operate on a weekly schedule, where on every Shabbos, there's a new Mishmar that comes in. And the 24 Mishmaros in total, as we discussed in yesterday's daf. And so therefore, every 24 weeks, you're going to have one new Mishmar coming in on the 24-week cycle. Now, the Lechem Aponim, the 12 loaves, and generally speaking, what happens is that on Shabbos, the 12 loaves are taken off, divided, and new 12 new loaves are coming on. How are those 12 loaves that are taken off, how are they divided? So the Gemara in Sukkah brings down a machlokas. If you take a look at the top Rashi in the Amud, so Rashi brings down the Gemara in Sukkah. Rashi brings down the pligalad Rabbi Yehuda beperka chalov va'amri mishmar yotze notol sheish or mishmar nechnas notol sheish chalos uschar gafat zolafat lo shakol mishmar nechnas b'matzo kulan ba'os u'mechalkos u'kohen gadol cholak im shteyem u'mishneim asar bay miflego mechza shalem eno u'mechza shalem eno notol batzir chad mipaga chamesh shakol. So Rashi explains, well, according to one opinion in the Mishnah and Sukkah, they are divided equally. 6 go to the Mishmar HaNechnas, the new Mishmar, and 6 go to a Mishmar HaYotze. Good. Now the Kohen Gadol comes in and says, okay, gentlemen, I'm helping myself. I'm the Kohen Gadol. Now again, according to the Chachamim, you can't take half. Half of what? So we said, half is going to be 6. If he's going to take less than half, so he's going to take 5. Fine. That explains one Shita. And now the Gemara says, that explains the number 5. So the army nichnas no tol sheish v'yotze no tol sheish v'schar gafas alasos lo mishtem asar b'ayim miflag. So batzer chada mipaga chameish shakel. That is all according to the Chachamim, where the number is going to be 5. Good? 1 less than 6. Because again, only Rebbe says he's entitled to half. According to the Chachamim, he's not. Le Rebbe Yehuda da amar nichnas no tol sheva Shtayim b'schar hagafas delasos v'yotze notel chamesh. So now there are 2 basically that get deducted. Why are 2 of the 12 loaves get deducted? So the Gemara refers to that as schar hagafas delasos, meaning that's an exchange, that's remuneration for the closing of the doors. Okay, extra work that's done by the Mishmar HaNechnas. So therefore, 2 are taken right off the top. So now that only leaves 10. So if that leaves 10, so now the Kohen Gadol can come in, he can help himself too, just less than half. Half would be 5, just less than half would be 4.
Maybe he didn't get 6 because he
didn't have
to worry about
Zugot. All right, well, that's interesting. The Gemara over here doesn't address that. So Dosus v'yotze noto chamesh me eser by miflag, batzer chada mipaga, deduct 1 off the half, v'shakal arba. And that's how he's going to end up with 4. Okay, so basically, it's just a question of how the Lechem Aponim is divided. Are they dividing from 12 or are they dividing from 10? If they're dividing from 12, so the Kohen Gadol is allowed to take not 6, but less than 6. So that means 5. And if you take 2 off the top for the Schar of the Hagafas, the Lasso, so that means you're starting with 10, and the Kohen Gadol is helping himself to just under half, so that means there's a lot to take 4. That's one shot in the Braisa, when the Braisa says he can help himself to 5 or 4. Just finishing up over here, second shot, Rav Amar, Kula Rebbe. No, the entire Shita goes like Rebbe. Again, Rebbe says he's entitled to half. V'savalak Rebbe Yehuda. So the and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda skims 2 right off the top. So that gives you now 10 to divide from. Ve'elamai arba ha'chamesh b'ayla mishkal. So if the number is 10, and he's entitled to exactly half, so he should be able to take 5. Why does the Braisa say four or five? Lokasha hadika mishma hamisakev hadaleka mishma hamisakev. So the Gemara says that there are going to be occasions where the mishmar is going to be ma'akev, it's going to hold you back. You take a look at Rashi. So Rashi goes through a scenario. It's based on a cheshbon that comes up at the end of Masechta Sukkah, without going through all the details right now. But there could be an occasion where the mishmar is going to be ma'akev. So iikar mishmar ma'amizakev mishmar ba'la miflag v'shakel arba ilek mishmar ma'akev master ba'la miflag v'shakel chamesh. So if there's a mishmar ha'ma'akev, if there's a situation where we're gonna, the mishmar is gonna take two more away, so that leaves your number to eight. It'll take half of eight, which is four. So ihachi my Rebbe Omer laolam chamesh. So the Gemara says, okay, but the lashon of the Braisa then is really difficult because the Braisa says four or five, and then the next point of the Braisa is no, Rebbe says five. So that means that whoever was espousing that four or five was not Rebbe. Kasha, the Gemara says that's difficult. The language of the Braisa is not going to really fit into this lashon. Okay, Adkan. That'll take us through the end of today's daf, even a little bit into tomorrow's daf. So quick review. So again, today's daf primarily dealt with the discrepancy between the Mishnah Midos and the Mishnah Tamid. Today's daf was a new answer to the question that really it's all one shita, and really the Lishkas HaTalaim covers the entire Western Wall, and it's just a question of whether you're coming in from the top or whether you're coming in from the bottom. You're coming in from the top, you see in the southwest. You're coming in from the inside, you're seeing in the northwest. And then in terms of the discrepancy between the Lechem Aponim, so for that we're just simply going to say it's a question of whether we're counting counterclockwise or clockwise. The Mishnah Midos is definitely going counterclockwise. And the Mishnah Tamid, it's a Chiddush, but the Mishnah Tamid is counting clockwise. So both are going to have the Lechem Aponim end up in the southeast corner. So there's going to be agreement as well over there. And the second half of today's daf talks about the Kohen Gadol, who on any occasion can help himself to doing the avoda and eating the carbon. He can step in and do whatever avoda he wants. He can step in and eat any carbon that he wants. And then when it comes to the shtei alechem and the lechem aponim, he helps himself to half. Machlokes between the Chacham and Rebbe, up to half or half, exactly half. Rebbe's always going to take the position he could take half. The Chachamim say just under half. The Gemara doesn't give us sources for this, why that should be. The Gemara just simply introduces us to the Machlokas. And then we spent the rest of the daf trying to explain why, according to the Chachamim, the language of the Braisa is four or five loaves of the Lechem upon him. Why does the Braisa say four or five? The Gemara gave us two approaches to how to deal with that. Either it's based on the Machlokas in the Mishnah and Sukkah, in terms of how the Lechem Aponim gets divided. Is it divided out of 12 or is it divided out of 10? If it's divided out of 12, so therefore the Kohen Gadol gets 5 of the Lechem Aponim, 1 under 6. Or if it's divided out of 10, so he helps himself to 4, 1 under 5, which is half of the 10 loaves. And the Rav's answer is no. Maybe the Mishnah over here, the Braisa over here, is going like Rebbe, that he's entitled to half, and there are going to be, under some occasions, the Mishmar Misakev. We get to the Gemara, end of Gemara Sukkah, we're going to see that sometimes there are only 8 to be divided. And if there's 8 to be divided, so then the Kohen Gadol can help himself to 4. If there are 10 to be divided, so then the Kohen Gadol is going to get 5. 12? No, because according to Rava, this Braisa is working under the assumption of Rebbe Yehuda, where there's never going to be 12 to be divided. Adkan. That's today's daf.